It's time for the IMA doctors to take house calls. Call now, 237-5948 or 800-880-5346, where you get answers to any healthcare question. This is the all-new House Call segment with the physicians from IMA Healthcare.
790 KFGO, this is the IMA Doctor Show with Dr. Mike Lilienthal, internal medicine physician specializing in osteoporosis, diabetes, and heart disease. And we've got an hour of your questions, an hour long answering health-related questions you may have. So call in now for some expert advice. We have a caller standing by, but first, Dr. Lilienthal, welcome.
Thank you.
It's good to see you.
You bet. Nice to see you again.
Hope you're having a nice summer.
We are.
We'll get into IMA Healthcare in just a moment and find out more about your clinic. But we've got a caller standing by, so shall we go right to the phones?
Yes.
Very good. Jan, you're on the IMA Doctor Show.
Hi, Doctor. I am a 52-year-old female, and I really believe in my chiropractor, and he's done wonders for my back. Okay? But I also, my right hand tingles every once in a while. Is it possible I'm going to have a blocked artery? Should I get that checked?
Well, there's always a possibility that an artery could be blocked and that could present as numbness, but more likely it's a pinched nerve. And I would think the three sources would be a pinched nerve in your neck or at your elbow or even at your wrist, a carpal tunnel syndrome. It'd be a little less likely to have just numbness as a sign of a stroke without any other symptoms associated with it.
Jan?
My dad had his first heart attack at 52, so I was just kind of wondering.
It certainly wouldn't hurt to see your doctor, and they could do an ultrasound of your carotid arteries or to listen to your carotid arteries and just make sure there's no evidence for blockage. But again, the symptoms you're describing would be a little less likely to be a stroke.
All right. Jan, thank you for your call. We have open phone lines, and we have the whole hour taking your house calls here on KFGO. Dr. Lilienthal, tell us a bit about IMA Healthcare. This is a different way of doing things, isn't it?
Yeah, we're more of a small group. We kind of pride ourselves in trying to deal with personal care and trying to pay special attention to people. And because we're a small group, we get to know the patients pretty well, whether they're Dr. Hella's patients or Dr. Clemenson's patients or my own or Dr. Yowie's patients.
And do people need a referral to see you?
Nope, they can just call in and set up a time and set up an appointment, and we'll be happy to see them.
And you're all primary care physicians?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And do you take all types of insurance?
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm. And can someone come to you just for a second opinion?
Yep, we have people that come in just for a second opinion, and we're certainly happy to do that also.
Wow. And you have an on-site lab, too?
Yes, we do.
Really? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also talk about the providers and patients that you see?
Yeah, Dr. Clemenson and Dr. Yoy and myself and Dr. Hella are all primary care physicians. We've all had years and years of experience dealing with internal medicine issues, and we're all local physicians, so we kind of are familiar with North Dakota and the things that affect mm-hmm. people in this area.
Indeed. We have a couple of calls coming in right now. It's 11:16. This is the IMA Healthcare Show on KFGO. IMA doctors are in. And Larry, you're on KFGO with Dr. Lilienthal. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I'm wondering on the fish oil studies. I'll be seeing my doctor, Bumgartner, later on this month, but I'm curious about fish oil reports where they're saying it may cause prostate cancer, but I've always been advised by my internal medicine doctor to take fish oil for protection, cardiovascular protection. What is your thoughts on this, doctor?
I think that, you know, unfortunately, a lot of these studies come out and they're what we call retrospective studies. And it's a little hard to interpret those because they're not studies that were done specifically to look at whether fish oil has issues with prostate cancer or not. And so I don't really take a lot of stock in those. And at this point, I probably wouldn't advise you to change anything as far as your fish oil.
All right, Larry, thank you for your call. Eva, you're on the IMA Doctor Show with Dr. Lilienthal. Go ahead, please.
Hello, doctor. My husband has osteoporosis, and he's been on Fosamax for probably 4 years, maybe even longer. But he's getting shorter. I thought the Fosamax was supposed to stop this bone loss.
Well, Fosamax does stop bone loss, in the vast majority of people. You can get shorter for other reasons. Sometimes the disc spaces in between the vertebrae can also shrink and cause some height loss. And even with the Fosamax, it's not 100% that you won't still get fractures in the spine. So they still can happen. But you could certainly be evaluated, and they can do a DEXA scan and just see how your bone density is doing. And then there's other alternative medications that they could choose if he wasn't doing well.
Eva? Is it true that Fosamax stops new bone growth?
It does. It prevents. It's an anti-resorptive medication, so it actually allows the bone to grow better or stronger. I guess I'll put it that way. Doesn't necessarily stop new bone growth. It'll still be a net positive for the bone.
Okay, thank you very much.
You bet.
Thank you for calling, Eva. And our phone numbers again, 237-5948 or 800-880-5346. Dr. Lilstall, we have a couple of emails to get to. Right. You ready to go back to work?
You bet.
My sister has Lyme disease. She is taking meds and feeling a bit better. Is it true that you really never get it out of your system?
You usually do get it out of your system. It usually does respond to treatment, but some people, it can be a prolonged course.
Another email into the studio. What are the symptoms of low testosterone? And a couple of other follow-ups. Do the benefits of testosterone treatments outweigh the potential risk of prostate cancer? And my husband wants to take meds, but it concerns me for his long-term health.
The symptoms can be kind of vague. A lot of times it can be tiredness, weakness, fatigue, loss of muscle strength, loss of interest in having intercourse, erectile dysfunction. So there can be a variety of things that can present as testosterone deficiency. As far as replacement, if your levels are low, replacing it isn't really a big issue as far as that's concerned, as long as you take it properly. There used to be some issues taking tablets that were a problem because of liver disease, but that right now the formulations are not given by tablets. They're given by creams and injections and so forth. So, and as far as prostate cancer, it doesn't cause prostate cancer, but if you happen to have prostate cancer and you were given testosterone, it could accelerate its growth.
As a matter of fact, sometimes a treatment for prostate cancer can actually be estrogen. Is that correct?
There can be estrogen, yes, if it's metastatic, yeah.
I should mention, too, that IMA Healthcare is at 1707 Gold Drive in the Goldmark Office Park, just east of Doolittle's. Their phone number is 701-280-2033, and you can also find them at imahealthcare.com. We've got tons of calls, so let's go right to the phone, shall we, Dr. Lilstall?
You bet.
This looks like Molita. Hello, go ahead. You're on with Dr. Lilstall.
Good morning, Dr. Lilstall. I have a question regarding liver function. My elderly father was just into the doctor, and he takes cholesterol medication, and he's a diabetic, and his numbers normally run in the normal range, but on his visit to the doctor this last time, it was up to like 47. What could be the cause of that, and what would be any type of treatments that we could do to get those levels back down into the normal range? And I'll listen. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
You bet. Now, 47 is just a tiny bit increase, so it's not usually too much to worry about. The first thing we probably would do is just simply recheck it a few weeks later. But, people, if their weight is up, fatty liver is a common reason that can be up. If you're on cholesterol medications, that can be a cause of the liver enzymes going up. And sometimes if they persist up, we take people off the enzymes. Alcohol, if there's any significant alcohol, even within 48 to 72 hours, that'll oftentimes raise them up. So those would be probably the more common.
Internal medicine physician specializing in osteoporosis, diabetes, and heart disease. And if you're ready for the second half hour, Dr. Lilstall, so are we.
We're set.
Let's do it. We've got several emails to get to, so let's do that. This one from Carol. Dr. Lilstall, are you taking new patients first and foremost?
Yes, we are.
You are. Very good. And the question goes on. I was diagnosed with thyroid issues and then told I can't get an appointment with a specialist for 3 months. I can't wait that long. Can I get into IMA?
Yes, you can. Yes.
And I can speak from experience from there, too. So keep that in mind. Toenail fungus. I hate it. How do I get rid of it? Or do you just live with it? From Pete.
It's a tough problem. It's hard to get rid of, first of all. Most of the time it takes oral medication for 3 to 4 months, taking it daily. And there's about a 50% chance it'll come back, even if you take that. And most of the time, if it's not bothering people, we don't usually mess around with it. And by that, if the toenail isn't sore or the toe isn't sore, we just let people live with it.
I know someone who was on medication for a toenail fungus and lost their appetite and lost about 50 pounds.
Yeah, there can be issues with the medications too.
And lost your taste.
Yeah.
It is 11:35. Donald, you're on the IMA Doctor Show on KFGO. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I have a question about low sodium. What causes low sodium, and what can you do to prevent it?
There can be lots of causes. Low sodium medication certainly being one, especially diuretic medications would be common. Over-drinking water can actually cause your sodium to be too low. So if you actually are too zealous and you drink too much water, that can cause your sodium to be low. And there are some other diseases, some adrenal gland problems and pituitary gland problems that are a little less common. And those are something you'd have to see a physician and be worked up and diagnosed with.
Thank you, Donald. Appreciate your call. Thank you for listening. Ron, you're on the IMA Doctor Show with Dr. Lilisthal. Go ahead.
Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
Hi, I have a question. I have a peripheral neuropathy, and I'm wondering if there's been any new things happening in treating that. I presently take, I get the Lyrica and antidepressant, but it's still pretty painful. Anything new?
You're probably on the newest treatment. Cymbalta and Lyrica is probably the thing that people are using most commonly right now. Gabapentin is an older medication that we've used for a long time. Unfortunately,
I had that.
The gabapentin, yeah. Unfortunately, you're probably falling the 50% of people that we classify as idiopathic, where there isn't any treatment that cures it. So it's just a matter of managing the pain. At this point, you're probably on what we typically use.
All right. Thank you.
Could I have one other question?
Sure.
Is there any topical medications or creams for this?
There are some things, capsaicin and some things like that, that people have used in the past. I'd say the results have been marginal as far as that's concerned. There are some anesthetic-type creams, lidocaine creams and some things like that, but I don't think the results have been all that great with that.
All right, Ron, good? Are you good? I think I just disconnected him. I'm sorry about that. Robert, you're on KFGO. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, doctor. I'm a 65-year-old male, and I've noticed that sometimes I have like a rapid heartbeat, and then it kind of, I don't know if I'm using the right terminology, it kind of feels like kind of skips. I exercise 3 to 4 times a week. I had my blood pressure taken, and my blood pressure is very good. Sometimes I notice it more so like maybe when I'm sitting stationary or I've eaten a meal.
Well, the hard part about that is to diagnose what the rhythm actually is. That would take wearing a monitor around for 24 hours or putting you on an event recorder for a longer period of time. It could be what we call intermittent atrial fibrillation, where your heart can go fast and irregular, or it could be what we call PAT. But I think it would be important for you to see your physician and try to get one of those monitors applied and try to find out what it is. And that would determine what the treatment would be.
Thank you for your call, Robert. And Donna, you're on KFGO with Dr. Mike Lilisthal.
Hi. Well, I've been hearing an ad lately that if you're taking Lipitor, that it could probably bring on diabetes. Well, I've got diabetes and I've been taking Lipitor for a while. And so is it, good or bad for me right now? If it brings on diabetes and I already got it, does it keep, fueling the diabetes?
Some of the trials, that are reported with these things are, what we call retrospective trials. They aren't trials that specifically have been done to look at that. So at this point, I think the evidence is probably on the weak side. And I would think there's probably a lot more benefits for the Lipitor in somebody that's diabetic than risks. And at this point, I'd probably advise you to stick with the Lipitor, and it probably is not affecting your diabetes.
Thank you very much for your call, Donna. This is the IMA Healthcare Show, the IMA Doctor Show. Dr. Mike Lilienthal is here. He's taking your house calls, and we have open lines right now at 237-5948 or 800-880-5346. IMA Healthcare is at imahealthcare.com. Their phone number is 280-2033. They're located at 1707 Gold Drive in the Goldmark Office Park, just east of Doolittle's. We have a caller standing by, Dr. Lilienthal, so let's go back to work, shall we?
Yes, we shall.
Jan, you're on KFGO. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Lilienthal, for letting me ask a question. I'd like your opinion. I was diagnosed with osteopenia, and I read an article about taking vitamin K2. What is your opinion of taking the vitamin with your calcium?
It probably doesn't make a great deal of difference, as far as there's never been a trial that really showed that the different types of calcium seem to make a lot of difference as far as the their effect on the bone. So I know that there's a lot of claims between magnesium and so forth that these can enhance the absorption of calcium, but probably not necessary.
Jan?
To take that vitamin?
I wouldn't think so.
Well, in the past 8 years, I've had a 9% decrease in one, I think it's my left hip. Do you think that would require medication?
A lot of it depends on your fracture risk, and I think that's the important thing that you should ask your physician is, you know, what's your fracture risk? And they have 10-year fracture risks for any fracture as well as hip fracture. And if you're fracture risk is starting to creep up there and get higher than 3%, especially in the hip, then you might think about getting some treatment.
237-5948, 800-880-5346, or studio at kfgo.com. And we have two open phone lines right now. If you call now, you'll be right after Richard. Go ahead, Richard. You're on with Dr. Mike Lilienthal.
Yes, doctor. I have night sweats during the night when I'm sleeping several times a week, where I wake up and my pajamas are all wet and sheets and pillowcase and everything like that. Is there anything that can be done about that?
Well, first of all, the night sweats, again, can be a symptom of lots of different things, including chronic infections and things like that. But so you'd kind of want to be sure there isn't anything infectious going on, first of all. And, you know, medications can sometimes be an issue that might cause that. So reviewing your medications would be another thing to look at. As far as treatment, there probably isn't a great treatment for the sweats at night, other than trying to keep yourself cool and not get too bundled up in covers and so forth, so you retain too much heat. But it might be worthwhile to check with your physician just to look into those other possibilities.
Thank you for your call. Let's get to a couple of emails here, doctor, shall we? This one from Elaine. I had shingles 20 years ago. I've been told I can get them again. Is that true, and what can I do?
There's about a 6 or 7% chance that you can get a second episode of shingles. You can get the shingles vaccine. That would reduce that down to about 3% if you got the vaccine. So it would reduce it to some degree. And if you did get it, it would reduce the severity and the length of the shingles.
We have time for emails. Is this one from Rod? Is the A1C test a reliable and definitive test for diabetes? He explains, mine has been at 5.3 for my last three physicals, but my fasting glucose is usually around 105. I worry about getting diabetes, but my doctor isn't concerned about it.
Yeah, your hemoglobin A1C is normal, and your fasting blood sugar is high normal, so you'd be classified in what we call pre-diabetes range, where the fasting blood sugar would be a little elevated, but your hemoglobin A1C would be normal. And the hemoglobin A1C is a very good test. It gives us an average of what your sugars would be over the previous 3 months. So I think that is a pretty good test. So the treatment at this point would be, you know, watching your diet, especially the sugars, and watching your weight.
Very good. Another email. My 89-year-old mother has just been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease and is in memory care. I am 60 years old. How will I know if I am predisposed to this disease? Is there a test or precautions I can take, Dr. Lilestahl?
There isn't really much for precautions that you can take other than you have to exercise your mind just like you exercise your body. So doing reading and crossword puzzles and staying mentally active is important. As far as a genetic test is concerned, there isn't a great test right now. It can tell you that you have a higher probability, but it doesn't very help.
This is the IMA Doctor Show. We're getting a lot of emails into the studio. I hope we have time to get through them all. One email for you, Dr. Lilestahl. How bad is diet soda for us? So we hear it's bad. Why?
Thing is bad for you. So there's a lot of sodium and a lot of diet sodas. There can be that. But I think in moderation, it's not a problem. But other than that, I don't think there's a big issue there.
All right. Very good. We're lining up a couple of calls right now. And Marlis is next in line. Marlis, you're on with Dr. Lilestahl on KFGO.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. It is my understanding that Medicare does not pay for shingle shots and that they cost approximately $300. Is there any place that you can get these shots for less or that would be covered?
Medicare and the private insurances usually do cover at least a portion of the cost, and they do cost around $300, but oftentimes between the two, it'll be down to $50 to $70 that the patient's share might be. As far as any place cheaper, I'm not sure I know of any place that would be cheaper.
Marlis, thank you. And Gordy, you're on KFGO with Dr. Mike Lilestahl from IMA Healthcare. Go ahead, please.
Morning, doctor. I'm calling about ultrasound screenings that are done by these traveling units.
Mm-hmm.
Are they thorough enough and are they conclusive enough to be useful?
I think they're actually a pretty good deal. You know, the ones that I've seen give you quite a bit of information for the dollars that you spend. They're usually around $150, I think, and they'll do your carotid arteries and your aorta and your peripheral vascular and your sometimes your gallbladder and so forth. And they are pretty decent, and I think for the money, they're probably not a bad deal.
Tim wants to know what hip treatment includes. What does hip treatment include?
I'm not sure exactly what we're referring to there, but if you're talking about treatments like a physical therapy treatment or something like that, that could be ultrasound and some things like that. If you're talking about surgery, of course, that'd be a different problem. If you're talking about injecting cortisone, that'd be something else, but I guess I'd have to have more information.
It's a little vague.
Yep.
All right. Very good. And another quick email. I've been pre-diabetic for 5 years. I'm trying to watch my weight and eat right. I was told I will be a diabetic eventually, no matter what. Is that true?
Not necessarily. If you watch your diet and watch your weight, you may just stay pre-diabetic indefinitely.
Dr. Mike Lilestahl, this hour just flew by. We got so many great calls and so many great emails into the studio. And we thank you very much for joining us this hour on the IMA Doctor Show. Dr. Mike Lilestahl, internal medicine physician specializing in osteoporosis, diabetes, and heart disease. IMA Healthcare is at imahealthcare.com. Their phone number is 701-280-2033, and they're located at 1707 Gold Drive in the Goldmark Office Park, just east of Doolittle's. Dr. Mike Lilestahl, thank you, and have a great rest of the summer. We'll see you again soon, I hope.
You bet. Thank you, guys.
IMA Healthcare, embracing the personal side of medicine. Join us August 19th for the next IMA Healthcare show on KFGO.